We left us last week discussing the Machlekes Rishonim about how to understand the chiyuv of a socher and mezuzah. Where it's clear that a person rents in a house, rents an apartment, even though he doesn't own it, he is obligated to put a mezuzah on. On the other hand, the Gemara is also clear that for the first 30 days he's not obligated to put a mezuzah on. So it's a strange halacha. Usually the mitzvah mezuzah, you think you buy a house, you have to put it up right away. That is the halacha. Why is it when a renter so only has the obligation to put up a mezuzah after 30 days? So we said at the end of the shiur last week, there were 2 days in Tosfos how to solve this problem. So one day in Tosfos was of the opinion that the chiyuv socher mezuzah is never min haTorah. That goes mechayim midaraisa, it has to be beisach, it has to literally belong to you. The only chiyuv of socher is only midirabbanan. Therefore, the chacham instituted that if you're there for a long time, you're there for 30 days, people think it looks like yours. There's still a science, so not everybody realizes they only rent things. So if you're there for 30 days, then you have to put on a mezuzah. But even after 30 days, the ma'aseh is only chiyuv midirabbanan. And other rishonim say no. Other rishonim, the other day, also says that the chiyuv of socher is really chiyuv diarais. So there is no din of beisach. There is no such gemara that darshan is beisach lemait bias that's not yours. So mezuzah chovas adar as long as you're living there, so you're chayv even midiraisa. It's just that for the first 30 days, if it's not yours, that's not even called a dira, because he's a come as you go. You're like a guest. You're just there for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. So you're not even considered to be a dar altogether. So the 30 days is a shir diaraisa, in order to be kaveh in a sense, that you're really considered to be a dar there. But in terms of the chiyuv diaraisa, so the chiyuv diaraisa besoch is doing no less than for a regular balabal. So it's a shayla and rishonim, machlekes, and the later poskim, halach lemaisa, how do we paskim? My nafkamina, what's the difference? At the end of the day, everybody agrees the first 30 days you don't have to put up. At the end of the day, everybody agrees after 30 days you do have to put up. Everyone agrees, even if it's a derabbanan, you put up with a brach anyway. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day, what's a derais or derabbanan? Lemaisa, you're doing the same thing. So why? It's just simple nafkamina is how would you look towards certain shilas that come up in Uchaz Mezuzah? You know, we know we have a cloud goal in Allah, that's safi derais or chumma, safi derabbanan kula. So if the chi of socher is only a chi of derabbanan, then perhaps one could be a little bit more lenient in terms of certain shilas in Uchaz Mezuzah. If you hold like those poskim that chiyuv mezuzah is deraisa, then you have to take it significantly more serious. Then you have to be more notal hachna than the shayos that come up. That would be one general question in terms of one's take, one's approach towards the chiyuv mezuzah for a soch or is it deraisa derabbanan. The question of whether one should be a little bit more machmir, a little bit more mekel. I don't know if I told the story last week. Somebody told me that Rav Shechta said that for years he had only been renting his apartments in the Heights, and then later years he bought his apartment. So finally, after he bought his apartment, he said, you know, I better start really looking into some of these mezuzahs I've been putting up, and they're really in the right place. Now we're talking big stakes, now it's a deraisa. So yeah, it was more of a joke. Maybe it was less of a joke, I know what he meant. But that idea is true in halacha theory, that one takes a view at the chiyuv mezuzah, it's a deraisa, a little bit more serious than if it would only be a derabbanan, one would have a right to be a little bit more meikil. But there are some very real nafkaminas ladina, which do revolve on this shayla, and that's the following. The Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Nesivos and others have the following suggestion: that when do we find that the chiyuv of mezuzah only kicks in after 30 days for the socher? So the Nesivos suggests in his siddur, besides that, the Sefer Nesivos, besides that, the Chavos Das says what a siddur. So in his siddur, the Nesivos suggests the following chiddush: the medivah mamurim that you have that cool, you have a leniency of 30 days. That if you didn't sign a lease, you're going to be there for more than 30 days. But if mitchila, you plan on being there for 2 years, you signed the lease, you're going to be there for 2 years, so then you chayav a mezuzah immediately. What's pshat in the Nesivos? The Gemara doesn't say that. What's pshat? So the Nesivos says it's based on the following, that the Rishonim write that how do you know that for the first 30 days you're not really considered to be a dar, you're not really considered to be like a citizen of the area, you're not really considered to be a toshav? How do you know that? So the Gemara Baba Basra says that when it comes to Uchos Tzedakah, that the town has the right to impose certain tzedakah taxes on people. You have to contribute to the welfare system, you have to contribute to help the near ear. So the Gemara says that if a person moves into town, so when can they start to tax you? When can they start going after you? The guy comes into the community, so he dabbles in the shul for a week, for 2 weeks, so when can the Gabon go after him? They can't, contribute. So for the first week or two, the Gemara says, you can't get after the guy. The guy could say, no, I don't even know if I like to get in there. Maybe easy come, easy go. Maybe even a week. So the Gemara says, after 30 days, then you can go after him. For the first 30 days, he's not considered to be a dar. So the Rishonim write that just as an uchus tzedakah for the first 30 days, so that's not considered to be a dira. We can't consider that you're necessarily permanently here. So who did not an uchus mezuzah for the first 30 days? The self is going to be potter. Let's say the person moves into town and he tells you mitchila, I rented a house for the next 6 months, I rented a house for the next 10 years, I'm planning on being here for a long time. So then the Rishonim right, you can go after the guy right away for uchus tzedakah. So that's considered to be a dar, that if he expresses intent to be there for more than 30 days, so then he becomes chayav in the sense in the tzarech ya'ir immediately. So the same is what Uchos Mezuzah says in the Sivas. But for the person who moves into town, he's renting an apartment, I mean, I don't really know how long he's planning. He doesn't know how long he's planning on being there. He may be there for 2 weeks and move out. So you can't be mechayav in the Mezuzah yet because he's not a dar. But if he's mechilakach, he sets him to immediately when he comes in, he signs a lease that he commits himself to be there for a year or even less than a year. As long as he commits himself to be there for more than 30 days, then he becomes mechayav in the Mezuzah immediately. So the Sivas writes this tour of Socha for the first 30 days, in effect, doesn't apply for us. We usually move into an apartment, person rents a house, rents an apartment, so obviously he's renting for more than 30 days. So according to the Yeshiva's Cheshbon, which should come out that he has to put up the mezuzah as soon as he moves in.
If the rental though is month to month, you
would
have a Cheshbon in your head that you plan on being there for a year. In reality, you can leave at any moment. So would you have 30 days or no?
I think if it's daito lekach, and he has to din nuchus tadaka, if it's daito lekach to stay, so that's considered to be enough. So many achronim question whether this nesivus is correct. This cheshbon of the nesivus makes sense if you hold that the chi of mezuzah for socha is really midaraisa, and the only reason why we're giving you a break for 30 days is only because of it's not yet a dira on the love of the araisa. So maybe you can argue this chiluk. We go the other day and tell us this, that The chiyuv of a socher is only midirabon and legam. Midiraisa is never chayuv. It's just that if the 30 days it looks like his house, it's a marisayin, so the chayuv doesn't make a difference whether he signed the lease or not. If I see a guy, I don't know who signed lease, who didn't sign lease. I see a guy in shul for 1 week, so I assume that he probably doesn't live here yet. I see a guy in shul for 2 weeks, this tummy doesn't live here yet. The guy for 3 weeks, he's still visiting him. I see a guy in shul for a month, so then I assume that, depends what shul you're in, some shul the guy could be for 10 years, I'm going to realize that he moved in. So if you see a guy here for a month, then it's like a nearer kishaloi. Then you see a guy coming into the same house every day, every night for a month, so people assume he probably bought the house. So according to that, Svara and Tosfos, that the reason why we're mechayav between before 30 days and after 30 days is because at a level of the Rabbanan, it's nirei kishalal, then why should it make a difference? Whether we signed a lease or not, then the chumru of the nesivus would not be true. So that's a shaila ma'isidah. This is a very, very real shaila. Lach l'maisa, there's a seicha put up a mezuzah b'zman hazeh immediately upon moving in, according to the nesivus, yes, because taito kach to stay for longer. Because he's choshesh for those who say that the chiyuv mezuzah for seicha is deraisa, and according to the second day in Tosfos, those who say that the chiyuv seicha and mezuzah only derabanan, there shouldn't be a distinction what the person's intent. This self-control, he hasn't been there for 30 days, he's not chayav mezuzah.
According to the second day in Tosfos, would be a problem with
things? Oh, we're going to get to it in a second. Do you lose anything by putting up? We're going to get it in a second. So there is another consideration to possibly, in a sense, change Allah of Isman Hazan to insist that even a socher has to put up the mezuzah right away, and that's based on a totally different calculation. This chiddush doesn't appear in the Rosh Hashanah Shulchan Aruch. It appears, to the best of my knowledge, in two places. Rav Leizer Shach has it in his Sefer Avi Ezri as a Ha'ara, and Rav Shech came up with it on his own. So from Bnei Brak to Washington Heights, they were mechav into the same Nakuda. This idea that a socher is not chayv and mezuzah midarais, according to Tosuk, which is probably the majority view, that the chi of socher and mezuzah is only midarabanan. Why is that true? Why is a socher only chayv midarabanan? So Tosuk writes, because it's not called beisecha, according to that day in Tosuk, because there's a halacha, Tosuk assumed that has to be beisecha, that has to belong to you, and a socher is not considered to be his. Why is a socher not considered to be his? So the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that there's a principle called Tzchiras Lo Kanya. When I rent something, I lease a car from you. So who owns the car? So the answer is the leasing company owns the car, right? Look at your registration. If the registration is written in the leasing company, it's not yours. So when I rent the house, I rent an apartment from you. So the landlord is the owner. I'm the tenant. I'm the socher. So when Halacha recognizes that also, and Halacha says Tzchiras Lo Kanya, the context of that particular sugya, that Tchiras Lo Kanya, that we do not view this as a temporary sale. We don't view it as I'm a real owner in the object, but I'm merely a socher. I'm not considered to be the Bala Bayis. So the Gemara says that Nafkamina is Ladina in Orachayim in Yerodea based on that premise, that Tchiras Lo Kanya. The context of the sugya is the first part of the sentence of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara tells us as follows, says that Issa Bi'araisa, for a person to to have Avodah Zarah in their home. The Torah says, you're not allowed to have Avodah Zarah in your house, whether I bring in the Avodah Zarah or whether somebody else brings in the Avodah Zarah, it doesn't make a difference. If there's Avodah Zarah present in my house, I'm in violation of that Issa D'Oraisa of Lo Savi So Eva Obeisecha. So it's in this context that the Mishnah says in Masechet Avodah Zarah that a person is not permitted to rent out a house to a non-Jew. Because if I own a house and I'm going to rent it out to a non-Jew and he's going to come and bring his Avodah Zarah in, it's going to be my problem of Lo Savi So Eva Obeisecha. So the Gemara says, wait a second, maybe it's not considered to be my bais anymore, maybe it's not my house. Once the non-Jew rents it, it's considered to be his house. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true, because since Chiras Lokanya, since this relationship between the masker and the selchim, between the tenant and the landlord, does not involve a transfer of ownership to the selchim, but in Dine Mamadis and Chesh Mishpat, the house still belongs to the masker, therefore it's in fact my problem, and I'm not allowed to rent the Beis Dira to the non-Jew. That's what it says in the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, but the whole sugya in the end of the first track of Avodah Zarah, with this premise, that's Chiras Lokanya, therefore, a masker and bati dira lagoyim. So on that Gemara, Tosfos quotes that this is a big problem because Tosfos writes that everybody rents out houses to the non-Jews. Don't you get nervous that the problem started in the year 2007. It was in the Middle Ages. Everybody rented out houses to Goyim. So how do you go about doing this? So Tosfos discusses different possibilities, different clues as to why it's true. So one day Tosfos says that the non-Jews, they're not so firm as matters there. They don't even believe in their Avodah Zarah. They don't even bring in their Avodah Zarah anymore. So Tosfos writes that most of the non-Jews that they were connected with, about Tosfos writes, they weren't so religious. They weren't davening so much. Tosfos says, when did they daven? When did they bring their Avodah Zarah to the house? As they were dying. When the priest would come to do the last rites, that was the only time that they would do the Avodah Zarah. They used to go to Shul Yom Kippur. They went to Shul once a year, whatever. They weren't so religious. So Tosfos writes that, so maybe that's not such a problem anymore. So the Rosh suggests a different reason. The Rosh says the reason why Klal Yisrael was so naked in the Middle Ages and the Shaila is based on a different consideration. That the Gemara in the end of Bav Metzia has a tremendous chiddush about the relationship between a masker and a seicher. The Gemara says that when if I rent a house from you, so let's say for argument's sake, you're the masker, I'm the seicher, I rent the house. So we find the lease on it, it'll even live there for the next 3 years, and now something happens to your house. You're the Bala boss, a different house. You live down the block, and your house, let's say, I don't want to touch any touchy topics these days, your house gets flooded with mushul. You can't live in your house anymore. So you can come and take me to a din Torah and say, please leave the house that I rented out to you, because it's not fair that you, the seicher, should be living in a house, and I should be living in a motel. That's not fair. It's understood that when I rented you the house, when I rented you El Bas, that I'm going to have a place to live. And if I don't have a place to live, I'm going to kick you out. So the Gemara says, you can do that. The Gemara says, the masker can turn around to the seicher and say, that leave my house, because leave the house that I rented you, because I don't have a place to live. So the Rosh writes, go try to pull that off this man. Go try to sign a lease with somebody. A landlord will sign a lease to a tenant, and something will happen to the landlord's house. He's going to come knocking on your apartment in the middle of the night and say, please vacate the premises in the next 24 hours, because I need a place to live. So the Rosh says, that joke? Why is that a joke? Why doesn't that work with Manazeh? So the Rosh says it's understood that the din of the Machus is that it's understood that when people rent things with Manazeh, they mean much more serious. They mean that the Baal of Bais doesn't have his own house to live in, so tough luck, let him go rent an apartment from somebody else. So it's al Bais of the Kach. We have a rule that let's say, Lamosha, there's a din of the Machus, so there's a secular law in din of Mamanus that the government enforces the following law. So it's usually understood that when the Jews enter into business deals, unless they stipulate to the contrary, so it's understood we're all going to follow what the secular understanding is. And there are certain laws about contracts that exist in America. So if I sign a contract with you, it's understood that we're signing al das that whatever the minigam makom is, that's what the Mishnah says in the seventh paragraph of Bar Mitzvah. I call kaminigam medina. Means that in the realm of Bidim Mamonis, unless things are stipulated to the contrary, if there's a general practice that people do, so it's understood that all buying and selling, all renting, and all transactions al das to what the minigam makom is. So the Rosh says this man is it. Clearly, the minigam makom has changed. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah doesn't say that halacha moshe mesina that everybody has to rent houses in a way of chivas lokanya. The Gemara just says, in the reality was that the way the understanding of chivas, this man chazal, was that it wasn't such a serious obligation. It wasn't such a non-binding transaction. Easy come, easy go. I can kick you out of the house. So Bizman Chazal is Chirus Lokanya, but Bizman Azeth, that is Chirus is Kanya. Bizman Azeth, since nobody would ever dream of the landlord kicking the tenant out for such a reason, it's understood that the relationship between the landlord and the tenant is a much stronger relationship than it was Bizman Chazal, and therefore the halacha is going to change as well. That halacha, that mishnah that you're not allowed to rent that house to Goyim, was predicated on the assumption that Chirus Lokanya, that it's still the landlord's house. Hashem came Bizman Azeth, I signed a lease for the guy, so for the next 3 years, it's his house. After 3 years, he'll give it back to me. But for those for years. He could do whatever he wants, basically. So since he could do whatever he wants, it's his house. There's no way I could ever get it back. He's going to take me to court if I try to kick him out of the house. So for that 3 years, it's considered to be bias of the Sochan, not of the masker anymore. That is a cooler, no chesef of Azar. Therefore, I'm allowed to bring up, I'm not allowed, but he's allowed to bring up Azar into the house, because he's not bringing it into my house, he's bringing it into halachically. That's called his house. So in Shulchan Aruch, no chesef of Azar, we pass it like this rush. This rush is called lahalacha, that the bizman is you're permitted to rent houses to goy, which is people do this all the time. And the assumption is even if the goy is a from goy, and he's going to bring up Azar, and it doesn't matter, because it's his problem, it's not my problem, it's not Pesach anymore, because in effect, chiras bizman is kanya. Here is a corollary with chumrah of this, which is as follows. Let's say I'm not the landlord, but I'm the tenant. Let's say I rent a house from a non-Jew, and there happens to be a avodah zarah in the house. And the question is, am I allowed to live in a house? Am I allowed to rent the house? And there's a avodah zarah of the non-Jew that's sitting in the house right now. So the Medina de Gemara would probably be okay, because the Medina de Gemara is chivis lo kanya, so the house belongs to the non-Jew. It's not my problem. I'm not, okay, I shouldn't daven in front of the avodah zarah. But it's not my problem that there's avodah zarah in the house. Shame came. If you hold this man as like the rush, that's chivis in effect is kanya, so then that works against you in this case, because now it becomes my house. If it's my house, so then I got a problem. I have lo savi suave lo beisech, but having the avodah zarah in my house, that's back a problem. So somebody once asked me, called me with the following shayla. It was after the fact. Those were always the best shaylas to get, because then you can say whatever you want, but no one can have any times on you. So he asked me after the fact, he had gone skiing in some place, and he had rented out this area, a ski lodge for 2 weeks or something, and he comes there, and he sees the place is full of idols, all kind of Far East and all kind of stuff, real McCoy, real idols that people still worship today. So when he came back, he said to me, by the way, was he allowed to do that? Was he allowed to live in, allowed to stay in such a place? He said, idols in it. So I explained to him that I think that according to the Shulchan Aruch, he was in violation of Lo Savi Suev Lo Beisech for the last 2 weeks, that's the Nisadir Aisa, because he signed the lease that he's renting this specific place for the next 2 weeks. So I asked him, did he a moment, can I throw you out of this house for the next 2 weeks? He said, no. Signed the lease that he's getting this particular cottage, this particular, I don't know, ski lodge, and he's staying there, and nobody can throw him out. So for those 2 weeks, he was talking about violence. So it was a violation of Lo Savi Suev Lo Beisech. That's an issue we usually don't think of violating. I mean, there are other applications of Savi Suev Lo Beisech, we'll talk about right now. But in terms of the issue being machnas of a Zara Lo Sech HaBayis, so we usually think that's a very foreign, we think that's something that you can only violate in the pagan world. So that's not, you can even violate if you go skiing. So yeah, next time you go skiing, you have to be careful not to rent a place. You have to go check and make sure the same way with machnas, you don't have chometan basically in your house. You don't have a Zara in your house either. Can't go skiing anyway, and it's a chalice, a shame. So, yeah, that's just an in-joke between me and Morton. Nothing to, don't you take that out of context.
Would this apply even if the guy, let's just say, he doesn't even live there, but he does it just to make it a nice place? It's not over a reserve to him. He goes to the Far East, he buys all this.
So that's the question. So that's the din hukus of a reserve. So the aloch is, when you have an idol, so if somebody really worships this idol, somebody actually worships this idol at one time, it's nisbos be avodah zarah unless somebody is mevatalit. So the only way you can be mevatalit the avodah zarah, only a goy can be mevatalit the avodah zarah, but it has to be a goy who's holding an avodah zarah. That means you can't get an atheist goy to be mevatalit. You have to get a goy who's a little bit of avodah zarah, but he says, I don't like this guy, I like that guy. And he takes the one arm and says, besh, man, this is a terrible avodah zarah, and he kicks it and he throws it on the floor. That's called bitla avodah zarah. Then it loses this chalas shem of avodah zarah. So we had this shayla two years ago. We had this shayla of the Nisa Lo Savi Suev Lo Beisech. One of the guys in shul, I forgot who he was. Somebody asked me a while ago that he bought a house, and as they were closing on the house, so the Bialim said that, aha, it's a non-Jewish owner, hopefully. So the non-Jewish owner said, you see, it really worked. So the guy says, what really worked? He said, it really worked that I was told that in order to be matzliach to sell this house, I have to take a certain idol and bury it in the backyard, and that'll be a good omen, and that'll be able to, a lot of you may have idols in the backyard, you don't even know. So the guy said that was I was told to do that, and it's not going to work, and Baruch Hashem, part of the reason it worked is because this guy was a bluff to open up a shul, so the prices went up, that's another reason. But the Oji Shalom was that the idol was matzliach, that he was able to sell his house properly. So this guy, like his initial reaction is, oh, that's so nice, that's so wonderful, just tell me where the idol is. I'm just, curious to know. I'll build him a little, a little mizbech. They tell me where the idol is. So guys, I'll tell you the truth, I don't remember even where in the world I dug up this, I hid this idol. So the guy came to me with a shayla. He says, the shayla v'nisa d'araisa v'lo sovi s'lo yivol b'secha. He didn't exactly formulate the shayla in that way, but that's, he said to me, rabbi, is there anything wrong with having an idol in my backyard? So my initial reaction was, at first I thought he meant like to have one of those like statues, you know, which a lot of people have in their backyard. So I said that, yeah, probably got to get rid of a mamish, but here he's explained to me, he said he doesn't know where it is. So is he mechuyif to go hire a company to go dig up his entire backyard to go find the hidden treasure of the idol? They said their eyes were so very separate, so we had a great answer. So I thought, okay, let's get a guy to move after the idol. Let's get a guy to say, yeah, that idol under there, who believes in idols under the ground? That's garnish. And the Ramah writes that he doesn't even have to do a ma'isa to it. He could just do bittul bedibur also. So the problem is you have to find a guy who could do that, because the din is you have to get a guy who is an oved of a dezara. He believes in other of a dezara. So I asked him, do you have any guy like who you're friendly with, who could do you this taiva? So he said, oh, his co-worker, he's very close to this co-worker. So the only thing is the co-worker, I think, is an atheist. So he doesn't qualify. So you have to find a guy, convince him to be an oved of a dezara, then convince him to bother. Go figure, it's not so simple. So the ma'isa, in the end, we were mekel that where he was explaining to you what exactly the story was. So I think apparently this particular idol was nobody ever really worshipped it. It was more of a good luck kind of a charm. The guy believed, he didn't really believe it had divine powers. He believed it was like a rabbit's foot or something. So somewhere tucked under the ground is probably this smacks a little bit of a Avodah Zarah. But to say that's a mamish of a Avodah Zarah that the person actually worshipped, to say that it's chala b'yisa deraisa l'savisa probably doesn't apply. So yesh l'hakol b'shas l'chay. Anyway, get back to the mezuzah. So we're not learning about it, we're learning about the mezuzah. So Rabbi Shechter, as well as Rabbi Shachter, wrote the following chesed, that the whole reason why Taisus writes that the chiyah mezuzah b'zman hazeh for the seicher is on a midrabanan is predicated on the assumption that it's not his house, that it's not his bias, because chiyah is lokanya. So everything changes in Ochaz Avedazar. So just as in Ochaz Avedazar, the Rosh and the Shechan Aruch write that b'zman hazeh chiyah is his kanya, it is considered to be my house. And it's my house, vis-a-vis Yisrael, lo sabi soeva beisecha. So beisecha, Zereshava, the same definition of beisecha for Avodah Zarah. L'cheresh should be the definition of beisecha for mezuzah as well. So b'zman hazeh, the chiyuv, the Yisra of Avodah Zarah is chal on the soicher. So b'zman hazeh, the chiyuv mezuzah is chal on the deraisa on the soicher also. And it's called uchsaf tamam, so it's beisecha. Once I rent the house, b'zman hazeh, so since the type of a renting that the mosque, the landlord can't throw me out anymore, I'm the bialim b'chol dover for the next 6 months, for the next year, for the next 5 years, whatever the lease is. Not because of the nesivus of svara, that since I'm signing the lease, it's died to look after me, the reason why I'm chayim midaraisa, because it's mamish mine, because it belongs to me, and dinim avos, and I'm the bialim gemurim on this house. So that would be another sniff to suggest that the chiyuv mezuzah midaraisa, the chiyuv mezuzah bizman hazeh for the seicher should be put up immediately. So we have two totally different svaras to potentially be mechayev the seicher to put up the mezuzah immediately. One is just far as the nesivus, it's signing at least, so it's daita b'kach, so they have to be chayev right away. The second svar is that maybe bizman hazeh the chiyuv deraisa, whenever there's a chiyuv deraisa, you don't have that break of 30 days. So this suggests it was made both Rav Shach and Rav Shechter. And Lamaisa and Rav Shach tells people this is Lamaisa, that's what we've asked him, that people should actually put up the mezuzah immediately for the Seichet. So I think that most of the poskim didn't assume like this cheshbon. Why exactly not? It's not a good cheshbon. It makes a lot of sense. But the emphasis is, I thought Rabbi Kivager doesn't say like this, because Rabbi Kivager writes that the reason why Taisus holds the Chiyah Mezuzah is only Midrabanan, so Rabbi Kivager writes is because Chiyah is Lokanya, and Rabbi Kivager therefore writes, Sofik Mezuzah, Sofik on a Soich Restata al Lekula, Sofik the Rabbanan Lekula, and Rabbi Kivager doesn't address the fact that in Shulchan Aruch and Ilchus Aved Zara, it says Faker, it says that Bizman Hazeh Chiyah is Kanya. So Rabbi Kivager knew that Rosh in Ilchus Aved Zara, Rabbi Kivager knew the Din in Yoredei Chalei Beis, that Bizman Hazeh Chiyah is Kanya, and Rabbi Kivager, the truth is still right, that Sofik Rabbanan Lekula vis-a-vis a Soicha. So there's some missing link in this puzzle. So why exactly it's true, I'm not 100% sure. One time we suggested a possible, you know, possibility as to maybe a possible flaw in that cheshbon of Schiris Kanya Bizman Hazeh. But Lamaisa, when all the dust settles with Kivega Paskin, that Bizman Hazeh, Suffolk Mezuzah for Seichel Lekula, even though Bizman Hazeh Schiris is Kanya. So with all the all said and done, it still seems to be that for some other reason we don't follow this cheshbon of Schiris Kanya Bizman Hazeh. Why exactly? If we're honest, I'm not 100% sure. But it would appear from the Kivega that it's not correct. The Nesivus also was a very big chiddush, because the Nesivus was only a sugar like that one day in Tosfos, who hold that the chiyuv sofer is deraisa, and the din of 30 days is only b'teres dira. If you hold that the second day in Pesach, then it doesn't matter whether you saw it, at least that we said before. So Rabbi Kivega, that same tshuva, right, that most poskim held like the other day in Pesach. Most poskim held the chiyuv sofer is tacham and dirabanan. So both cheshbonos are interesting. The nesivus is cheshbon, Rabbi Shev's cheshbon is interesting. But at the end of the day, I think the whole thing is Rabbi Kivega, that he paskin forget. Rabbi Kivega paskin is lamaisa, that the chiyuv sofer is only dirabanan b'zman hazeh. That the chiyuv sofer is only dirabanan b'zman hazeh, and there's no difference whether you sign a lease or not. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure that one is really required to be chayshish for this idea that when you mechuyev the brachos mezuzah right away. So Seth pointed out, so what's the big deal? You're going to buy mezuzahs anyway. So by neftaminah, so buy the mezuzahs right away. Put them up right away, right? Make everybody happy. So the answer is not so posh, it's not so easy necessarily to make everybody happy. Not so easy in life to make everybody happy, and it's not so easy in halacha to make everybody happy, because you may stand to lose something by putting up the mezuzahs right away. What could you possibly stand to lose? You run into a problem in terms of the bracha. When exactly are you going to recite the bracha if you put the mezuzahs up? So if you hold like a b'shecht, if you hold like the nesivis, for each one for the different reasons that you really chayev right away, could you put up or make a bracha and finish at the end of the day? But if you hold that you really potter, or you're nervous that you really potter, and you just want to put it up a chum of yalma, so when are you going to make the bracha? So make the bracha now. You're not chayav in the mitzvah yet. So how can you make the bracha now? To make the bracha after 30 days, the mezuzah's up already. So you have to make the bracha. So you're showing the like the whole mezuzah. So then you do start taking all the mezuzahs down. It's a hassle. You're going to start unscrewing the mezuzahs on and taking out the nails. It's going to be balagan. You're going to put on the two-sided tape. You're going to start ripping off your whole doorpost after 30 days. Your wife's ready to kill you anyway for making a mess when you're putting up the mezuzahs. You don't put them up properly. You had to redo them and everything. All the paint got ruined. So you're going to have to move up twice on a new house to move. So I don't know, it's not so simple. So there are different eitzos in the poskim what to do. So Ramesha had a chiddush, Ramesha writes, in theory you can put the mezuzah up beforehand, and then just as we find like in Ruchas Tefillin, if you have to put on your tefillin before the Zman, or in Ruchas Tzitzis, you put up your tzitzis before the Zman, so you just touch the tefillin, or you touch the tzitzis, you can make a bracha, that's called mishmush, but the tefillin, it's called the Shasa Mitzvah. So Ramesha had a cheshbin, you can put up the mezuzah right away if you want, when it comes to the end of 30 days, so you walk each of the mezuzahs, and you give it a touch, a kiss, and you say, Hashem, can you show me something like mezuzah, and you touch the mezuzah, play around the mezuzah a little bit. That's a big question, whether that's really true. Then he was showing that problems with that even by tzitzis. The Gemara only has that by tefillin. So somebody showed him said, that's only by tefillin, because tefillin, the Gemara says, mitzvah lamash, mesh the tefillin. There's a mitzvah to touch the tefillin. There's a mitzvah to pay attention to the tefillin. So you put it off, and then that's it. So that's a question whether we should follow that eighth of Rav Moshe. So Lamaisa, when all the dust settles, it really boils down to, is the Nesivus right? And the Nesivus or Rav Moshe are right. If either one of those cheshbonos are right, then you thought you should put it up right away with a bracha. If neither of those cheshbonos are acceptable, then the better thing to do would be really to wait until the end of the 30 days. So yesh v'yesh, in Ayeshiva there are different hanhagas. So those who follow Rabbi Shechter's shaitis, so they put up the mezuzahs right away. Those who follow Rabbi Willig and others don't. They don't buy into this whole chiddush, the yim mechuyev right away, that the din of sarik was the din of sarik finished. The din of sarik was still kayim b'zman hazeh. And therefore, not only are you not mechuyev to put it up, but if you put it up, so then you're setting yourself up for a pickle in terms of his brachas. So you wait till the end of the 30 days. So that's what I did. So when we got married, we moved into the ice. So for the first 30 days, we didn't have mezuzahs. On the 31st day, that's when the chiddush mezuzah kicked. Since Al-Bach was, the 31st day was Shabbos. So what do you do on the 31st day? That's what you're supposed to put up, the beginning of the 31st day. So when do you put it up? So I thought that you should put it up on the Shabbos. So when it comes Shabbos, you're mechuyev mezuzah. You can't do anything about it. Torah is not mechayev to put up mezuzah when you can't put it up. So that's what the Mordechai writes in Maseches Menachos, that we don't find there's a mitzvah to live in a house without a mezuzah. There's a mitzvah, kviyas mezuzah. So if a person, let's say a person lives in a house, they don't have any mezuzahs, because there's no sofa around to write a mezuzah. So we don't find there's a mechuyev to move out of the house. I'm allowed to live in the house. Anas Shachwana Patrei, so too over here. So I'm allowed to live in the house on Shabbos, and I don't have a mezuzah there. As soon as Shabbos is over, I put a mezuzah up. That's what I would have said. So Rabbi Simon told me, he dug up some Acheron, someone from someone who lived between the 1300s and the 1800s, someone who my son's a first name basis with. So he dug up, I don't know if my son will appreciate it, so he dug up somebody who said that when the 31st day falls out on Shabbos, so that's like Neiros Chanukah, when Friday night of Chanukah, so you don't light Balayla, so the Takhanas HaKhamim was, you light Yibiyot Yom. So that's considered to be the Zman HaMitzvah. So normally you have to wait till the 31st day. So if the 31st day of the Seicha falls out on Shabbos, so then you can put it up right before you go to Shul Minchas. I think that's what I did. So 5 minutes before my wife is benching left, I was walking around banging up mezuzahs, lighting Neiros Chanukah right before the Yesterday. I don't know if you should be mechag. I think there are differences. Most of the chiyuvim is of deraisa. Some of us fake it. We'll talk about it as we go. Which doors? We haven't even touched on doors yet. We still be talking about the half. We haven't even begun the. This is all introduction to the mezuzah. We still got a little while to go.
We broke up to say that.
I don't think you should be mechag.
That the ski lodge that he rented for 2 weeks. Why won't he have the same thing? To put a mezuzah.
When I rent the ski lodge,
he signs the thing, nobody's allowed to go in except him.
Right, look at that, right? But he would talk about Jichai right away, right?
Meaning, you're only going to be there for 2 weeks. You
right?
Have no
right?
Every single time that far.
Right? 100%? 100%?
What? Overnight.
Oh, so we'll get to hotels in a second. So if you hold like anybody else, that's so clear, the tour of 30 days applies. Good, you still have a tour of 30 days. But if you hold not that way, you have a problem. There is a further question which stems from this whole discussion. What if you have the following shadow? What if you have an individual who's not quite a seicher? He's one notch below a seicher. That means he's a guest. So a guest is partial, not chayv. What if you have somebody who's right between a guest and a seicher? What does that mean? So I rent out, I'm paying you something, paying you rent, but I'm not paying rent for a specific room. I'm paying rent for the right to live in this particular area for the next 6 months, the next year. So is that considered to be a seicher or not? So this is a very, very common, shall I say, a dormitory. So when my parents signed with the yeshiva that, okay, we're hereby paying, I don't even want to ask how much dorm costs now, whatever it costs. So we're paying $5,000, whatever it's for our son to be in the dormitory. So I imagine if I sign some kind of a contract or something. So we're signing a quote-unquote lease. You're signing a lease for room for more of $279. You're not signing a particular room. Let's say the head of the dorm. Who's the head of the dorm now? The Chai says, he's still around? No, he left. Okay. So I think Ben Mantel's brother. No, I think he's the head of the dorm now. So someone's going to be Kaver. The Chai Fitz was a legend. He was there for 50 years plus, something like that. So when you sign a contract with yeshiva that you're getting a particular dorm room, so you're not signing for a particular dorm. Let's say which room they're going to decide. The head of the dorm, they'll decide which room to give you. Easy come, easy go. Let's say in the middle of the semester, YU decides that they want to switch you for another dorm room. So they can't do that. Of course they can do that. The question is that considered to be even a seicher or not? So that's the fact that Tosfos and Masechet Eruvin of all places. Tosfos and Eruvin, the sugya of Eruv Chatzeros, so there's a whole discussion, Lagabi Eruv Chatzeros, whether a seicher has to give an Eruv Chatzeros, the mask, a whole complicated sugya. So in the middle of that discussion, Tosfos talks about that you have a kind of a setup where you have different people who have rights to a house, but they don't have rights to a particular house. They have an arrangement that they're renting out the rights to live somewhere in this whole complex. So is that considered to be enough of a bialim to close a problem in terms of Erev Chatzeros? Normally the law of Erev Chatzeros only means when you have more than one balabas in a common area. I have my house, you have your house, we have a common area together, then and only then there's a fear of Erev Chatzeros. What if you have a situation where you have 10 different quote-unquote balabasim, but none of them have rights to a particular home, because the real landlord can shift everybody around at whim? So Tosfos throws it one day that maybe there's no chiyuv of Erev Chatzeros. That's not even considered to be a soicher. So in Hilchos Mezuzah, some pick up on that and say also, so in Hilchos Mezuzah, that's not even a soicher, that's less than a soicher, because you don't have any rights to a particular house. So this was a big, big shaila, both in terms of the dormitory, and this is a shaila in terms of camp as well. This comes a very expensive shaila. So this goes back, those who went to Marashah, so this goes back even before Morty's Kufas in Marashah, this goes back to, see if I can get my years right for the history books. I have to double check on Rabbi Simon in this one, but I think that, if I'm not mistaken, this was the summer of 1983. It was the summer of 83. But we happened to have been learning Hilchos Mezuzah that year. So the shaila that was Miss Orer was as follows. I think you'll appreciate the part of the shaila, because I'll tell you who the Bali Dabur were under shaila. So one of the Bali Dava was Moshe Schwartz. He was a Bali Dava. Some may know Rabbi Kinarik from Amol, and David Lacks. I remember Yechiel Zalewski, Dr. Zalewski's son. They were the Bali Dava in the Shaila. So the question was, Moshe decided that they're getting new mezuzahs. Time to get new mezuzahs for all the whole mezuzahs. Well, half of them were no good. So they got to buy new whole mezuzahs for the whole camp. So they decided to institute a tax. They added up $5 to everybody's summer. So besides a couple of $1,000 for things, in the summer they threw in a camp. Each camp has to pay a $5 mezuzah fee or something. So Rabbi Willer got the wind of this, and he said, he thinks it's not correct. He says it's not the chiyuv on the campers for the parents. The chiyuv is on the administration. The campers is chiyuv in mezuzah. So they responded to Rabbi Willer, what do you mean? They asked the shayva, and the person who passed him said, quote the Gemara of Sach, mezuzah chovas hadar. The Gemara uses the lashon. Then when you have a maskev in a socher, so the Gemara said the famous thing about mitzvah, the socher has to pay. Okay, we've been speaking about the fact that there has to be a mezuzah on the rented house. Who has to pay for it? So the Gemara says the famous. So give the dikas comments. Now, dal and shach, mezuzah chovas hadar. The socher's got to pay for it. It's chiyuv. So the response to Moshe was, mezuzah chovas hadar. The camp is the other one. They're living here for 2 months, one of 30 days, except maybe people going on one trip, maybe they're supposed to. So a guy comes with a whole stomach, so he's got to pay for the mezuzahs. So Rabbi Willich said, no. He said, there's a Taisa Neirvin that says that socha means when you have a specific, when you're renting out a specific room. But if I'm not renting a specific room in Syria, let's say the shtilis, they're giving bunk X. And let's say, I don't know, at the time, this is from before Abe's time, from Tzvi's time. So he says, we decide we want to switch a guy from bunk X to bunk Y. You do whatever they want. They can move people around at whim. So Rabbi Willich tied according to that day in Pesach and Erevin. That's how we pass in the halacha like that process, and therefore the campers don't have to pay to administration. So you're talking about a lot of mezuzahs. That was you're talking about a lot of doors in Camp Morashas. You're talking about a couple of, $50,000, a lot of money. So that was the machlokes. That was the latest of sophists. They were fighting. I ain't fighting. In good spirit. They were arguing about this nakuda that particular summer. So Rabbi Willich was adamant about his tzav. Specifically because we are learning Hilchos Mezuzah, that's Shema, we're talking learning Maseches Menachos, and we are going through this whole Lamedus of the Shaila, and he said, no, we're going to stick to our guns, but Pesach is that we're Potter. So one Friday afternoon in that summer, there was another layout of camp in the Kolo side, so it's now where Rabbi Jacobson lives, where Lewis lives, those, we used to dominate a couple of Shabbos, remember, in your Yotzkufa. That you Seth knows I'm talking about. You guys have been in Moshe, I know what I'm talking about. There's a little area which they used to shtup. It was in they used to shtup all the older guys. You guys were Kadima, the seniors. So Moshe Schwerb was there that summer, and Arnie and Zaleski, and those the older chavra. So they were living in that particular special bunk. So what happened? One summer, Moshe overbooked. One summer, they overbooked their guest house. And now they couldn't find a place to put some chash of a guest who were paying a couple hundred dollars to come for Shabbos. So they needed an extra room for Shabbos. So to make that extra $100 for Shabbos. So what happened? So they realized, oh, we have an extra room. We have a Moshe Schwerd and the left skill of him. So we'll just ask him very kindly on Friday afternoon to please get lost. So Friday afternoon, I remember, you can verify the story, they were spazzing with all their stuff down across the road and going, they had a Nebuchadnezzar cool sleep in the Kola bunk with everybody, with the Pasha Amcha. So they had to carry their stuff. So that Friday night, Rabbi Willich announced, we have hereby proven that our Pesach is correct. He said they wanted to save $100 to get another couple in they could charge for the guest house. So that $100 cost them $50,000, and they've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the koyach to move people, not just theoretically, but lemaisa they move people, and thereby we're absolutely certain that there's no chiyuv mezuzah on the campers, and the chiyuv is on the administration. That was the famous Pesach. Whether they listened, I don't know. At the end of the day, I have no idea who paid for the mezuzahs in the camp. But Rabbi Willich was going wild that Friday night. He was so excited that Moshe Schwartz was kicked out and sleeping in the street, so he could prove that everyone is a pastor for mezuzah.
You just didn't class with a co-op. The co-op,
don't
you own like a space?
Well, the co-op, you own mom's cafe. I don't think in the co-op they can kick you out of your apartment, no? Usually in the co-op you buy your apartment and then you have a share in the rest of it in the house also, in the lobby and everything else. But I think your apartment you own, no? Is that crossword? I think so. No, they don't?
You get a special
thing. So you don't have a specific apartment?
Yeah, but they can't move you.
No, they can't move you. I don't think they do, but you don't get a deed or anything.
Really? Yeah, you don't know? Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. You know. I'm not sure. That's more of a shutz. I would say that's more of a bias or shutz from them. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're renting that. Meaning you don't own that apartment, but you are renting. They can't kick you out of it. Same.
No, Bishav is a chiyuv there, right? So that'll be Bishav there. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. So the postscript of that story was the same shayla was Nisara and Yeshiva. The same shayla came up in the dorm. They also wanted to charge all the students $5 mezuzah fee or something for So the question was, is that acceptable or not? So the same Shiloh came up again. So I wrote, stuck to his grunt. I don't know what the pshat was in the Shiv either, I don't know. But Lamai said that same fundamental question, is there a new category in Halacha below the level of a Soicha? So this Shiloh comes up all the time. This comes up, we mentioned last week in terms of offices, this comes up very time in Shiloh. A guy's in office. So is it really my chiyuv to put him as on my office? So the question is, well, what's my relationship with the quote unquote with the balabas? I'm renting an office, so that means I'm renting a specific office. Can they kick me out? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Depends on the case. So remember, my wife was yesterday the shadow. She really has a chiyuv and mezuzah. So every once in a while, the job switched to the different locations, so they were putting up new mezuzahs. So whoever bought the mezuzahs, I don't know necessarily if they went to buy the most mehudarim, mezuzahs. I hope they were kosher that they bought. So they put a mezuzah. So she asked me, you know, is that really my problem? Do I have to really make sure that it's a kosher mezuzah? So I said, me'ikra din, I don't think you're really mechudar mezuzah. I said, easy come, easy go. They can move you to another room. So it's not your office, which says the possible office, John. It's not your office, per se. They can move you around. So in any case, they can move you around. So the Pasha says that's according to this svar, that's Tosfos Davis, it's not really yours. This would help out in terms of a lot of the shilohs of the hotels also. If you don't say a guy goes to a hotel, even if he stays in a hotel for more than 30 days, so he's still Pasha, he's Potsdam. If it's a Jewish hotel, then the Chiv is on the Balabas. So he's happy people living in his house, so then he's Mechuyev and Mezuzah. It's a non-Jewish hotel, so it's not his obligation, it's not my obligation, because it's the same svara, so they could move you around. We had an interesting shiloh once. In terms of socher, you have the following shiloh. Let's say somebody has a house. It's in a vacant house. I own a house. It's a vacant house. Nobody's living there right now. And so then there's no chiyuv and mezuzah. Even though I own it, but there's no dar. So there's no dar, then for sure there's no chiyuv and mezuzah. Now somebody comes and wants to stay in my house for 2 weeks. So it could be that since I own the house, so I'm chiyuv and mezuzah mideraisa. So once somebody's been guarded, they're my guests, so then the chiyuv and mezuzah kicks in on me right away, and I don't have the cool of 30 days. Then I'm set to put up the mezuzahs right away. So this is always a problem. It's a very, very common problem. I own a house somewhere. It's in a second house. In theory, I'm going to put it on the market someday to sell, but right now it's sitting there, so I let people come and use it. So the chora, I have a chiyuv and mezuzah right away. So somebody asked me the following shiloh, that the person had this house on there, they were about to put on the market, they were going to sell it in another couple of weeks. But right now it was empty, and there were no mezuzahs there. It was a large house, and their kids wanted to come stay in the house for a couple of weeks. So the question is, can you do that? So now, once my kids are coming to stay in the house, they're doing a bivud even for a minute, it becomes my chiyuv mezuzah mideraisa. That's a lot of doors. Like, 30 doors, it's times 50,000 mezuzahs. And I don't want the house. I'm not going to put the mezuzahs up now, so I'll use them. I'm going to sell the house in a month from now anyway. So as long as I have to, I'm going to have 30 extra mezuzahs laying around. So what's the halacha? So I thought that the Shas HaChak, again, whether this is the right thing to do or not, I'm not sure whether Lechatchil should do this, but I think the following eitzah would work, that rather than the person living in your house as a guest, they should rent the house out from you. So they should give you a token rent, they'll give you a dollar, it's your kid, they'll give you a rental, it's your kid, they'll give you a penny, whatever, they'll rent out for a fruta, they'll rent out the rights to live in the house for the next 29 days. Why? So once I'm renting it out to them, then it's not mechiv anymore. Then it's mamish techiv and the socher. But the socher only becomes mechuyev after 30 days, except for the shechel and the nesivus. So technically you can mamish circumvent it because mezuzah, that the maskeh doesn't have a chiyuv because he's not having somebody live as a guest. He's having somebody live as a socher, so it's not the maskeh's chiyuv anymore, it's the socher's chiyuv, but the socher's chiyuv doesn't kick in until 30 days. So in theory, as long as he's staying in the house for less than 30 days, that should be okay. Well, let's say he wants to stay for 2 months. So the folks have all discussed, he wants to stay for 29 days, and he'll move out for a day, and then the count starts over again. We have to really move out, take all the stuff out, mamash move out, then he comes back 2 days after Shabbos, so then in theory the 30 days start over again. So again, this is a little shtickle harak. One of the questions is this appropriate or not appropriate? Malcolm has said that's a question in of itself, but in terms of pure mezuzah, I think that eitzah would work, because once he's renting it to him, so then he's no longer, the mosque is no longer a chayiv, the sokh is chayiv, and the sokh is chayiv, and it kicks in after Shloshim.